I'm excited to be with you, and I know you guys are going to think, hey, he says this to every congregation, but this is really one of my favorite churches, and I'll tell you why. Love the authenticity, the realness, and so coming back here, I feel like I actually get more from conversations with you than you will probably get this morning. So I don't know if you understand kind of the place that this church has in my heart. And I talk about you, I've talked about you around the country, just love the staff here. Haven't met all of you. So I'm sure some of you that, you know, I don't want to know. Just kidding. I'm get to know you over time. But I want to bring just a couple messages, like Pastor said. One, kind of this first idea of understanding life spin. And then the next service, understanding stop or learning how to stop. And I'm not coming to you as an expert, right? Like an expert on, hey, busyness and work-life balance. I come to you as an experience of someone who kind of hit the wall from doing too much and overdoing it. And you know what? Here's the thing. After 17 months of counseling, I'm still a workaholic inside. I have to keep it in check, right? So it's one of these things that you kind of over time, not overnight, learn to live with and deal with. And so I want to just talk a little bit about current life spin and how sometimes we get stuck in it, right? And I'll give you an example of this. We, several years ago now, but I remember it like it was yesterday, we went to this place. I live in Southern California. We would love some of the rain, actually, that you guys are having. We have to ration water in Southern California or steal it from Northern California, which we do. We were at this place called the Irvine Spectrum to see a movie, right? And it was the first weekend it was released. And this is part of the problem, what I'm going to share with you right now. My job was to stand in line, and there are 12 lines, 23 screens at the Irvine Spectrum. And we're there on a Friday night. You shouldn't go on a Friday night, but we're there because of the first night showing. And my job is to get to the front and just simply say five tickets to the 5:30 showing. That's it. That's my job. Pretty easy deal. There's so many people that my family's waiting off to the side. And so as I kind of made my way up, I got to the window, and I remember my wife told me five tickets to the 5:30 showing. So I just, hey, five tickets to the 5:30 showing. Right, and you know when there's a crowd, you don't want to be long, right? You kind of want to do your business and then get out, right? So then the next person can come. So I get up, five tickets to the 5:30 showing. The gal on the other side of the glass says, which one? I said, the 5:30 one. And she said, I know, but which one? And I said, the 5:30 one. Right, I get sarcastic when I get pressed, like my time, right? Now I have these choices. She says, well, do you want to see it? And she says, IMAX, 3D, RPX enhanced sound, or regular? Regular. When I was growing up, there was only regular. And I'm looking out at you guys. You know what I'm talking about, right? Right? There's some of you that are like, what do you mean? I mean, there's always been 12 theaters. Okay, but Google it. You'll see there was a time when you would go and you'd say 5:30, five tickets to the 5:30, and they would go here, and then you would go watch the movie. And the reason for that is because there was only one movie. There was only regular. So now I'm in the middle, and I didn't realize that there were four of the same movie starting at 5:30. And now I'm panicked because I don't know that answer. The guy behind me, because I'm taking too long, is like, dude. And guys, you know what I'm talking about? That means you're an idiot. That's guy speak for hurry up. You're an idiot. This is an easy transaction, right? All of you had 20 minutes in line. They're all right there on the board, right? And I'm like, bro, I'm sorry. I don't know what. And it's like, you should have decided. And I did decide, but then I got these choices, and now I can't get to my family because I'm afraid I'm gonna make the wrong choice, right? But I love that, right? There's some energy to that, right? I'm like, oh, this is great. So now I'm like, hey, calm down. I have some choices, right, to make. And I'm trying to get a hold of my wife and my kids over there. But they're not looking at me. Why aren't they looking at me? Because they're all texting. They're talking. They're on the phone. They're Snapchatting. They're Googling. They're doing. I can't. I have to text them. I have 20 yards away, and I can't get them. I have to text them, and they all get it at the same time and look up, right, at me. And they're like, oh, then excuse me. The guy behind me, there's the body posture. And he's talking to people. Like, bro, what, you know, that whole thing. I'm pressured. So here they come. And I said, can you run them again, the 5:30, and then my kids, my wife's like, Dad, it's an easy deal, 5:30, right, the movie. I'm like, I know, but there's options. We have options, right? Listen to these are great, right? And then she goes, okay, here we go, ready. IMAX, 3D, RPX enhanced sound. I don't even know what that is. And regular. So, of course, there's one that's off the menu, regular. We're not gonna see regular. We have bigger, better, and louder. So what are we going to do? IMAX. Why? The experience. Bigger, right? More. So I said 5 for IMAX. That's what we're going to do. And she says to me, I'll never forget it. She said, $98. For a movie. $98. And my kids and my wife are standing there. And so I forgive me, but I turned to them and I said, they're sold out, that movie. Because I was going to spend $98 on a movie, right? So I narrowed the choice 3. I did a 1 John 1:9 forgiveness thing later, but I wanted to narrow it. So now we're down to 3D RPX enhanced sounds. We rock, paper, scissors at one time, right? That's right, and we don't all agree. So I am panicked, the guy behind me, right? So now I just, have you ever been on the edge and just go, "This, I got to make the decision," right? I said, hey, 5 for regular. My kids, teenagers. Oh, Dad, no, regular, no. And then Snapchat, hashtag dad makes me see it regular, counseling. I'm like, oh my gosh, first world problems, right? So I'm like, hey, we're going to regular, right? I never thought I'd have to scold my kids. We're gonna see regular. And so we go in, we see the movie. It was a good movie, it really was. But I left thinking this, maybe we could have done better, right? I mean, we saw it in regular and it was great, but if it had better sound, maybe that could have really notched it up. Or 3D, there was an action movie, a lot of stuff coming at us, so maybe 3D. IMAX, the experience, clearly that would have been up at the top, right? So all this choice, but I left feeling worse. Right? But what if we said, I'm going to go see the IMAX version and we pay the $98 and you go, that was amazing, but was it worth it? Maybe regular would have been just as good. Here's my suggestion, that when life starts to spin, what causes that? I think there's some things inside us that cause it, but there are some external things, and one of those things is too many choices. Too many choices, right? When I was growing up, we would get, my mom loved salad. I don't know why I remember that, but salad. And we had one dressing. Does anybody know what the dressing was? It was made by Wishbone, and it was what? Ranch. Okay, you're too young. Italian, that was it. You would go, maybe if there was a Bob's Big Boy in your town, you would have the, I think they called it Roquefort at the time, dressing, or maybe a Russian. You had that, but that you go now to the rest to the store, and let me tell you what you want Wishbone Italian. You're going to get that in about 9 versions: Wishbone Italian Light, Wishbone Italian Low Cholesterol, Wishbone Italian Parmesan, Wishbone Italian Parmesan Light with cheese, Parmesan. You stand there going, huh, right? It's too many choices, but choices are supposed to help us, right? Because people will tell you that more choice leads to more freedom. I haven't experienced that. More choice has led to more work, and more work has led to more life spin. So here's a question for you. Can doing more good things bring more bad things? And I believe the answer is yes. I'll explain that in the next talk, but I wanna hit just for a few minutes on this idea of understanding life spin. Now, if you're sitting here going, hey, Craig, my life, perfectly balanced, right? I'm good, no stress. God bless you. You're probably not a firstborn child. We'll talk about that later. And, or you're in denial, right? And like my friend Doa says, denial is great because you don't know you're in it. Everybody else can see it, but you. My wife, for years, we need to go to counseling. We need to go to counseling. We need to go to counseling. And I was like, hey, we're good. We're so, look at us, we're good, right? We were not good. Very unhealthy. Normally, I would love to say, well, it's part her fault, but mostly it was mine and my workaholic tendencies. And here's what I would say. Life spin, when life starts to spin, it always leads to sin because you have no margin. You have no balance in life. So if you're taking notes, let me walk you through these 4 points on understanding spin. And the first one is seasons. Seasons. And the question is, what is your season? What is your life season? And here's how I would define seasons. My wife and I, in the book she co-authored with me a few years ago, From Hectic to Healthy, we identify 4 seasons. There could be more, but we would say the first season is single, no kids, right? You remember that? So awesome. You had all that time, right? All that time to yourself, no relationships, but you know, you had all the time. So you have more time to do what you want when you're single, no kids. Then you get married, and when you get married, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility for a relationship with someone else. So you have less time to do what you want, when you want, where you want, and how you want, because you have a responsibility for a relationship. And then you are married with kids. So single, no kids, right? Single. Then you're married, no kids. Then you're married with kids. Now you have less time because you have more responsibility for relationship. And then the last season is single with kids, maybe through separation, divorce, widowed, death of the spouse. You find yourself single with kids. And now you have less time. No one's sharing the load. So when you look at seasons of life, it's pretty easy to define where you are. Am I single? No kids. Am I married? No kids. Am I married with kids? If you find yourself married with kids, you have a unique situation because you have to figure out how to reduce your choices. Because too much choice does not lead to more freedom. And I know for those of you that have kids still living at home, you understand what that means. Let me give you this verse out of Genesis 33, 12 through 14. It's pretty unique, but let me kind of read it and then give you a little background. It says this, it's Esau and Jacob talking to each other. And they're brothers. And Esau said, "Let us be on our way. I will accompany you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are tender and that I must care for the ewes and cows that are nursing their young if they are driven hard just one day." And we like that term. Are you driven? Yeah, I'm driven personality. Right? I get that. I'm a driven personality. I think there's a correlation here. It says that the children are tender and that I must care for the ewes and cows that are nursing their young if they're driven hard. In other words, if I am living a seasonally single life when I am married with kids and I'm driving, I'm taking them with me. If they're driven hard, just one day, all the animals will die. So, Esau, let my Lord go on ahead of his servant, Jacob, who's talking. Well, I move along what? Slowly. And that's even hard for some of us to say, right? Slow. I like to move fast. I like to talk fast. I like to drive fast. I have tickets in 5 different states. That's not good. I haven't had one in Texas yet. I shouldn't have said that. Now I may be in trouble. I move along slowly at the pace of the droves before me and that of the children. Well, I move along slowly because I'm tired. Well, I move along slowly. Why? Because of my season of life. See, he didn't say, "Hey, I'm all in. Let's go. Let's go. Kids, pack it up. Let's go. Bring it all. We're going." He said, "You know what? I'd love to go with you. Really, I would, bro." And that's my paraphrase. But he looks at the kids and says, "My season of life is married with kids, and so I can't travel as fast. I could personally, but I have to make the choice to travel slowly because if they're driven hard just one day, it's going to destroy my life. I'll be able to keep up, but those that are with me will not." Does that sound familiar? If that resonates with you, overwork. See, workaholism, I think, is the only rewarded addiction in our country, right? If you're addicted to alcohol, drugs, or something else, what do? You go to a program, you stand in front, you get open, you get on it, you get real with it, right? If you're a workaholic, you get a corner office, higher salary, more staff, and a bigger budget. And that's a problem and an opportunity, right? Usually, those of us that are in that type of spin cycle, we like that because we're being rewarded for it. It's the only rewarded addiction in our country. The word alcoholism or workaholism came from the word alcoholism. It just moved over. But we don't have a 12-step program or a recovery program for people who are overworking. Because most of the time we don't know it because we're simply in denial. So find your season, live your season. The next one is this idea of priorities. And people who are living in a life of spin have their priorities out of whack a little bit. And I can give you a very long testimony about that. The question is, where are you going? And when you look at your priorities, you can say, I'm going this way. And here's the unfortunate thing with the way our world kind of works. I don't have an answer for you, but this is kind of it. So as you find a spouse, you get married, you have kids, that's typically you're a little younger and you are kind of going up and to the right on the bar chart of life and salary, right? Careers may be taking off, or at least you're pursuing those things. So at the time when you need to kind of be withdrawing to your family and to your home, right, you have more opportunity. And when our kids get older and then they leave the house, I wish that it was reversed, that we would have kids and we would have more time there, and then we would have more time in the workplace as our kids went on to college. And I understand, I don't have the answer for that. Can't change society. But the idea here of priorities, and people will say, well, where are your priorities? Here's what I would tell you. Look at your calendar and look at your checkbook. Look at your credit card. Wherever your money and your time's going, that's your priorities. So whether you write them down and follow them or just take a look at where that time and money's being spent, you can say, that's pretty much where my priorities are. Here's the verse in Ephesians 5:17, and I'll tell you a little bit about verse 15 and 16, but look at this. It says, don't act thoughtlessly, right? But try and understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. Now, I picked one of these up. You, I'm sure, know about these living in the greater Houston area. This is a surge protector, right? This surge protector is in the form of a person, right? I just happened to pick this up in Texas, in Dallas, in Target. Never seen one since, and no, you can't have it. This is great because this is how I would live my life. And maybe you can hear my testimony a little bit and say, you know what? Maybe I fit in there, right? Maybe me too. But I and you as well, we're all designed with a capacity, right? Or a potential. So we look at people who are achieving their potential and we say, that's great. But only we know if we're achieving it or trying to go beyond it. And my definition between hard work, which I really believe in, and overwork is doing more than you were designed for. And here's the question, how do you know? Well, stress disease, guilty when you sit down and relax, the desire for more, never being enough, never resting in contentment, right? And some of you may go, hey, you're right on the money. Perfect. This is where we're at. But here's how I viewed life. As a believer, I would even do this. Watch this. I would say something like this with the plug. I'm plugged at my power. I can do all things through Christ, right? A little biblical verse, right? Because we want to condone our workaholism. I can do all things through Christ. Wide open, right? I can do whatever I want. That's not what the verse is saying. It's not saying you can do everything. It's saying you can do all things through his strength when difficulty comes. But never mind that. I would use the verse to benefit my behavior, right? So I can do all, I'm plugged in to God. See how that's all working? It feels really good, right? And then we look and you go, okay, God, you've designed me with these four gifts or potential kind of thing. But my kids, you know, they're growing up and my daughter, wow, amazing soccer player. She is phenomenal. I mean, unbelievable. So what we're going to do, we're going to work a little harder, earn a little extra money. Why? So that we can put her in like a program, like hire her a trainer, like 5 days a week. Never mind, she's only four, but we're going to get her going early because she's going to be in the Olympics, right? We all think that. And God bless you. Your kids, angels, cherubs, little cherubs. No, it's not for everybody. So maybe we put a little extra and we say, how do we do that? Well, we'll make do. Right? And so here's what we do. We go, my potential was really the one, but look, see what I did, God? Now I know your word says I can do all things and I'm plugged in to you, so I can do it all. That's not what the verse is saying. So we manufacture more, right? And that's going so well for us that maybe we add some new hobbies, right? Because we are working more. We need to, you know, relax more. So let's do more, which I don't understand that math, but I lived it for a long time. And that's going so well for us that we maybe overextend financially or something. And so we just kind of keep in that. And that's going so well for us that we quickly move to this. And I don't know if any of you can associate or if you feel like this. Now, if you go, hey, Craig, my life is so balanced. God bless you. I don't like you because you're, no, I like you. I love you. But the idea here is I was doing all of this. And I would say, God, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed me with these gifts and abilities and talents or whatever you want to say it. It's a nice way to say arrogant. So you have all of this. And I know what you're looking, you're going, well, you're done, right? There is a cap to how much we do. And the answer I would tell you is no, there's not. You say, but they're all filled in. No, they're not. Because this is going so well for us. We have so much time for relationship and balance and downtime and Sabbath. I've made six more. So I can plug this in right here. This doesn't happen overnight. This happens over time. Over time. And one day I woke up and realized this was my life. It wasn't a moment where I thought, you know what? I think I'm overworking. No, this is 10 years of my wife saying, you're doing too much, you're out of control, and we need to go to counseling, and we're not going to counseling. And so one day I reached under the couch, and my wife was at the grocery store. I don't know where my kids were. They weren't home at the time. And I reached under the couch, and I noticed some chip bags and Coke cans under the sofa. Heaven forbid our kids, you know, walk 5 feet and throw it away. And I'm sure your kids do that in Texas, but California they don't, apparently. And so I reach under and I find this book among the trash. It's my wife's journal. My wife's journal. And I sat there and I just kind of opened it right to the middle. I didn't look up, you know, table of contents, anything like that. Right to the middle. Right at the top, true story. It's changed my life. I hate my husband. I hate my husband. Here's my thought. You're the only one. Everybody likes me. I get paid over at that church. They like me there. So I like to stay there more. Because when I come in there, they're like, hey, all right, how are you? Hug, high five, handshake. This is great, great, great. You're doing so good. Here's more staff. Here's more money. Here's this, right? I come home, what are you doing? You were supposed to be home at 6. Why are you home at 8? I don't like that. So let me go spend more time over there. And so I keep spending more time over there because conflict is raging over here. That was my life for a long time. I hate my husband. Let me tell you what. Here's what I know about journals. They don't lie. That's true. I read the story in about 5 minutes of a woman who's hurting, who was living with a man who was married with kids, but he was living a seasonally single life. His own time, what he wants, where he wants, how he wants. And then coming home, and while physically present, was emotionally absent, disconnected, and not relational. And that's called denial for doing it so long. So when my wife came home, we had a conversation. And that conversation was, we're going to go to counseling or we're done. And pardon my step and reach here. That's healthy sometimes. That's healthy sometimes. It saved my marriage. An ultimatum. You go or we're done. Okay, now my behavior has to change. The prodigal son in that story would be something like this. He came to himself. Aha, I see. Life as I know it is going to be over unless I do that. But it really wasn't about doing that. It was more about being that, right? It wasn't do better, try harder. It was, Craig, you need to learn how to be more available. And so this idea of priorities radically had to change, right? This idea of priorities where it says, don't act thoughtlessly, which is what I was doing. Try to find out what the Lord wants you to do. Live a life of health and balance, right? Then you move to the next one and spin. And this has started to happen in counseling. Isolation. Oh no, my family, my wife knows I'm messed up, but I don't want anybody else to know that I'm messed up, right? But here's the fact. This is kind of, keep it on the down low just for people in here, okay? Everybody's messed up. Everybody. There are some people that will point fingers at, oh, look at you, you're doing this, and very opinionated, right? In church, we call it judgment, right? But we try to, you know, make it look good, opinion, it's their opinion. You know, here's the thing. Usually, those that want to point out stuff in others are carrying the most shame. And you know where it's rampant? In church. I speak at a lot of different churches. I talk to a lot of staff, and there is a common denominator among all of us, sin, and we all do it. Some of us don't like to think we do it, and so we don't tell others about it. Come to your self. Isolation. Why are you hiding? I love the Genesis 3:9 verse. To me, it's an overlooked question that the Lord asked. And it's very simple. It's talking to Adam and Eve. The Lord called out to the man and asked, "Where are you? Where are you?" Profound. It's like, well, there's two of us, and you made us, so you know where we are. No, where are you? And I will tell you, I had to answer that question internally because I was afraid of what other people thought. I worked at a church that at the time was the largest church in the country. Now, it's okay to go on a prayer list, but you don't want to go on a prayer list with 25,000 people knowing your marriage is failing. You just don't. That's not good. And we use prayer lists sometimes in church, not always, but sometimes we use it as a place for information. Gossip, right? So we go to counseling. Now, I'm going to be seen in counseling. So we would go to counseling, and when we were in counseling, our counselor, Jim, would often say something like this. Guys, Craig, Mary, here's what I want you to do. You want you to go out the back door today? Just go out the back door. Why? Well, you may not want to walk through the lobby. And that was his code for, you know, people who are in the lobby. And if you don't want to go on the prayer list, you need to go out the back door. Because if you go out the front door, there's going to be somebody who sees you, right? And when you're in counseling, you don't walk out of counseling. And if somebody sees you, hey, Craig, how you doing? Great. We saw the facility. We had to use the facilities. We had to use the men's room and the ladies' room. So we just popped in. So never mind, there's fast food across the street, but we just dropped in here. But everything's good, right? We're looking good. Coming out, smiling. So, one time coming out of counseling, if you've ever been to counseling, it gets worse before it gets better. No one tells you that. I'm going to tell you, so you're all accountable. You go, hey, I'm going to go to counseling. And I've talked to play. I'll get an email 4 months later from somebody. And I'm like, okay, Lake Jackson, well, okay. Hey, you said go to counseling. It's been 5 months and it's worse. I know. But no one said, hey, 4 or 5 months, it's going to go from here, and it's going to go up a couple weeks, and then it's going to crash. And that's what happened. That's pretty much everybody's story, right? Because even in counseling, we don't want to reveal. And I think the first few weeks of counseling, counselors are like, okay, let's give me all the stuff, and then we'll get to the real stuff in a few weeks. 17 months. I think messed up people, like normal messed up people, like maybe you guys, normal messed up people, I was really messed up. Normal messed up, maybe a year. 17 months. Tuesday 2:15 butt kicking. That's what I called it. Because the first 4 months, it was like terrible. And I remember the session, the one session I'm in, and I'm being what I felt attacked again for my behavior. I said, and I pointed to her, I said, her right there, Mary, she is part of the problem too. And that, I think, got me another 5 months of counseling, which... we can laugh now, but at the time, oh, pain. And so the session's over. I walk out. I'm going out the front. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the point? You could call it the breaking point or the broken part where you're like, I don't freaking care. I don't care anymore. You're right there. You're hanging by a thread. I don't care. Have everybody see me. I am done. That's where I was. I walk out, open the door. There's a lady sitting right there. Head in her hands, she looks up crying, and she says, Pastor Craig. And I went, oh no. She was a volunteer at our church. She had been at church a long time. She knew a lot of people. And in that moment, I wanted to blame. You know what? If you hadn't written in your journal that I was an idiot, which, by the way, is fair and true, if you hadn't written that, then I wouldn't be here standing next to you. It's your fault. Isn't it interesting in Genesis, if you keep reading, isn't that what Adam does? Hey, it's the woman you gave me. It's their fault. Never mind that it's my fault, but it's their, you did it. See, that's our first response always. It's very reactionary. The point, but I see her, and then we walk out, and then my wife and I get into an argument outside of the counseling center. Outside. Do you understand that? Normal people have the argument inside, and then you pay to do that. Let me have all my stuff right here. I pay you to be quiet right here and help us. You walk outside. All good, right? It's all good. Hey, we're just here for a little bit. We're just fine-tuning the marriage. No, our marriage is in crisis. We have an argument. We get in separate cars and leave. Next week, we're back. Tuesday, 2:15 or 4:15, butt kicking. I get in. I go back out through the front, the same lady, the same spot, the same posture. She looks up, and this time she's not crying. She's smiling. She runs over to Mary and I, gives us a hug, and she says, hey, I was hoping you guys would be here. And you don't want to hear that in counseling. Hey, I'm hoping you're coming back. You're coming with, right? I was hoping you would be here because I just wanted to thank you. I'm like, you're nuts. Clearly, I know why you're here, because you're not thanking. I'm in counseling. Why are you thanking me? She says, I have to thank you because every week, my family really should be in here with me because the issues are with our whole family. But they will not come. They say counseling's for weird people. It's not spiritual. It's not biblical. So they drive me and drop me off, and they just wait in the parking lot while I'm in counseling. Let me give you a moment to see where the situation's going. You understand where it's going, right? I'm in protect mode. I don't want anybody to know we're messed up. Now, she has just said something that's a little concerning to me. I get dropped off, and they wait for me in the parking lot, but the week before, we went out and had a knockdown drag out in the parking lot. I'm in protect mode. Like, I already got past the prayer list issue, right? I'm like, oh, no. Like, you behave one way at home, and that's not necessarily bad because we have filters out in public, right? You filter stuff. That's okay. No filter. We had no filter in the parking lot. I said, this is a protection question. I said, that's too bad, really, because they should be, that's great. And I'll pray for that. I'm not meaning it. I'm just saying it, right? Pray for that. Be good. That's great. Hey, just kind of heads up. Did they wait last week? Were they in the parking lot? Did they go get something to eat? She said, oh, no. They were here the whole time. They saw you and Mary come out. I can't remember being so mad, hurt, angry, broken, blame. I had no words. I was like, great, they saw it. And then she starts tearing up. I'm in self-protect mode. I'm covering up. I'm hiding. I'm asking questions so I can kind of damage control. And she says, I have to thank you because they saw you came out. And when I came out after my session, they said, and this was new to me, listen, we saw Craig and Mary come out, and if Craig and Mary can go to counseling, then we can all go to counseling. Because, and this is my paraphrase of what I think they were thinking, we thought they had it together, but you would not believe the language and the issue that happened right here. We saw it all, and thank God it's not on YouTube. Happened, and you know what? We thought they had it, so we know we don't have it together, so we're gonna go. Foreign thinking to me, because I wanted to isolate. God wants to bring it to light, and he asks Adam and Eve the first question. I think is a brilliant question. Where are you? I'm hiding in plain sight. I'm covering up. And if I don't get that, then I'm going to blame. But I don't want anybody looking inside of my spin. The next one, the last one, is this, a neglect. And it's who are you neglecting? who are you neglecting? And the verse, Matthew 16:26, it's a powerful verse. And it's not a comforting verse unless you're on the healthy side. And how do you benefit, it says, if you gain the whole world? How does it benefit you if you have everything you want and you have the corner office and you're making more money and you have all the niceties and, you know, it's going well? And those things are okay, by the way. It's when they cause us to spin as a result of trying to attain that gets us in trouble. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul, you lose your spouse, you lose your kids, you lose your household, you lose everything in the process? Is anything worth more than your soul? And the idea is living our seasons, whatever that may be, aligning your priorities to a healthy agenda. When life really begins to spin, we want to withdraw. And you say, well, how do I know if life's spinning? Because you're one way in public and another way at home. Withdrawn, isolated, detached, those kinds of things. I was all of those things. And I can easily fall back into that. And when I start falling back into that, it's that last one, neglect. Neglecting soul care, neglecting relational connection, those kinds of things. And let me end with this. This is, if you're familiar with this great theologian, Tom Scholz, who founded the rock band Boston. It's a song called Don't Look Back. And talking about life balance, here's what I know. Your life will not change out of what you heard me say today. It won't. It could be the beginning of change, but this type of change does not happen overnight. It happens over time. And so I like what the lyrics say in this song. I think they're distinctly biblical, although I'm sure he wasn't looking up scripture when he wrote it. But this idea of don't look back, because I think when we hear a message on spin, a lot of us go, silently, me too, me too. And I hear a lot of this. My wife has been telling me. And guys, just I don't say this a lot, but if your wife is telling you about workaholism and your balance of life, my experience is they are probably right. And I even call my wife the second Holy Spirit, because she seems to know what's going on. I think we need to pay attention to that. But here's what he says, and I think this is the key to change. Don't look back. Don't look back. A new day is breaking. It's been too long since I felt this way. I don't mind where I get taken. The road's calling. Today is the day. And isn't that how we start out? Hey, the road's calling. Today is the day, right? I love this. I don't mind where I get taken. I'm caught up in this. I'm caught up in that. They love me over there at work. They think I'm valuable. I get in arguments at home. I'd rather spend more time at work. See how that kind of goes? That's the first part. Then it says, and this is key, I can see it took so long just to realize I'm much too strong not to compromise. And here's the line in the song that's, I think, distinctly biblical. Now, I see what I am is holding me down. I see what I am is holding me down. I'll turn it around. I'm going to turn it around. I finally see the dawn arrive, and I see beyond the road I'm driving. And that's what we have to do. We have to look beyond. And then the end, the final piece. It's a bright horizon, and I'm awake now. I see myself in a brand new way. The sun is shining, the clouds are breaking, because I can't lose now. Why? Because there's no game to play. I see myself in a brand new way. When you walk out, no matter what your view of Tom Scholz or Boston is, when you walk out, here's what I know. Today's a new day. God's mercies are new every morning. And you may have lived your 60, 70 years, you have grandkids, and you look back on your life and I go, I did it all wrong. I never went to counseling. That's okay. Why? Because today, and this is how it starts, I see myself in a brand new way. No more guilt, no more shame. Right? You leave that way. Leave it here. Amen? That's the good news. So that is understanding spin. And then at 11, we'll talk a little bit about how to stop And there is a way to stop. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much for the folks that are here. I pray that you would be with them in their day and their journey. And God, thank you that you are a God of understanding and compassion. And thank you that we do not have a high priest who cannot understand our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, God, thank you that we can draw near to your throne of grace with confidence, and we can receive help and mercy in the time that we need it. God, thank you for those words and the reminder of those words. We pray it in the power and the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. All right, God bless you guys.